WMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Jane Wilkins Michael has helped change the lives of millions of readers who have experienced a life-altering event by encouraging them to become better than before. Now, Jane is bringing her experience and expertise to talk radio. Her new show has a personal, inspirational, enlightened, and at times, lighthearted take on the lifestyle challenges many of us confront on a daily basis. With broad-ranging topics touching on health, beauty, nutrition, fitness, holistic healing, spirituality, emotional well-being, and working to create supportive relationships.
It's always better when we're together.
This is a journey where you will learn simple steps to relax, replenish, and rejuvenate. Become better than before.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show on CBS Radio The Sky. I'm Jane. I'm coming to you live from New York City. We are taking your calls, 248-545-7685. I want to thank you for being with us. And now, as always, I send this right back out to our CBS studios in Detroit, where sits, as we speak, my producer, my co-host, the woman with whom I navigate the CBS airwaves on a weekly basis, the woman who is my extreme sports teammate for life, the wonderful, the energetic Cassandra Bishop. How are you doing this morning, my Cassandra?
I am well. I'm glad to be here with you. And if extreme sports, we should have a new one called Denial, because we're both not going to do extreme sports.
Well, that's true, but we don't let anyone know about that quite yet. They'll find out soon enough when we can't report on the sports that we're supposedly doing. Well, Cassandra, we have a great show today, and we have a lot to talk about, so let's get started so we have time to get everything in. After the break, we'll meet Dr. Rebecca Baxt. Dr. Baxt is the go-to dermatologist for New York's most beautiful complexions. And Dr. Baxt and I will be talking Beauty 411, what to do for skincare emergencies like that big blemish that comes out on your face the day before your wedding, plus understanding all the beauty tools out there like fillers and lasers that will keep us looking forever young like Cassandra. So I'm very much looking forward to speaking with Dr. Baxt in our next segment. I've written a lot about her in my column, and she is the best. But first, I'm very happy to welcome Ed Dannemiller to our show. Ed is a cardiovascular specialist pharmacist in the Express Scripts Therapeutic Resource Center. And you know, Cassandra, how many of us, when we get a prescription, don't actually read the fine print that tells you some of the possible risks and side effects if we either don't take it right the right way, or we mix it with alcohol or other drugs, even over-the-counter drugs, or we just forget to take it. And half the time, we don't even know what the drug is because the labels between generic and non-generic brands, they are so confusing. So a specialist like Ed becomes an important part of your healthcare team because he does something that the average retail pharmacist doesn't have the time or expertise to do. He works with your doctor. He has access to all your medical records. And since he deals with cardiovascular issues all day long, today he can answer all our questions in that area as well. So welcome to the show, Ed. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Jane. I'm really glad to be here today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So let's start with statin drugs, Ed, which are very popular, as we know, to treat cholesterol. And I read something that something as common as grapefruit juice can, this question is a two-parter, can cause a life-threatening change in how the medication works. So why is that? And the follow-up question is, would I be responsible for killing my husband who takes statins if I gave him a glass of Tropicana?
Well, you won't kill your husband, Jane, by adding grapefruit juice to his statin, but it would increase his risk of muscle pain. Grapefruit juice can cause a significant increase and the concentration of popular statins and make them up to 3 to 4 times more potent, thus increasing the risk of a muscle pain.
So that's a lot. So, but if you really like grapefruit juice?
Well, in that case, I might suggest to my patient that they could take their statin at bedtime and then take a small amount of grapefruit juice in the morning just not at the same time as the statin drug, or possibly talk to their doctor about switching to pravastatin, a statin drug that does not interact with grapefruit juice.
Now, you also mentioned muscle pain as a side effect, and that's really a common complaint. So if you are experiencing that kind of pain, and my husband who takes statins would be tempted to just stop exercising, but what do you suggest that patients do?
Well, that's a great question, Jane. There's several tips I can share. First of all, there are several other drugs like verapamil, diltiazem, and some of the antibiotics that can interact with the statins as well, and these can help precipitate muscle pain. So I check for those first. But lowering the statin dose sometimes or changing to another statin can help. Also, low vitamin D levels can contribute to muscle pain. Some patients also find muscle pain relief by adding CoQ10.
Right, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, but some medical studies are a little bit mixed on that. But I tell my patients to keep in mind, though, that muscle pain could be due to other causes like recent physical activities or arthritis. So statins are not always to blame.
Right. So, Bob, my husband, you have to continue. You should continue to do the bicycle, right, Cassandra?
Yeah, physical activities do really help your heart tremendously.
Right. Now, let's get to other popular drugs for cardiac patients, and those are blood thinners like warfarin. Now, you should not mix those, I've heard, with green leafy vegetables like kale. Now, my husband does not take a blood thinner, but he might be tempted to if this would excuse him from eating kale.
Okay.
I'm not sure
how many people like kale or not, but the vegetables, broccoli, spinach, and kale, Jane, are just high in vitamin K, and warfarin works by blocking that action of vitamin K. So the more vitamin K you eat in the broccoli, for instance, the higher your dosage of warfarin needs to be. Now, this is not a problem if you eat the same amount of vitamin K each day, but sudden binges of broccoli can increase the risk of a blood clot because the warfarin dose would be just plain too low.
He can eat kale, so that's no excuse.
No, you just have to be careful with it and be consistent with your intake of these good vegetables for you.
So the kale is, and Cassandra, you can still put kale in the smoothies.
Good.
No problem whatsoever. Now, Ed, when I interviewed you for my column, which will be out soon, and Cassandra will post it here on our homepage at CBS Sky, you said that blood thinners are also examples that show how certain prescriptions have interactions with over-the-counter OTC products. Can you tell us a little bit about that and perhaps what products we should be aware of or wary of?
Okay, sure, Jane. With warfarin, some of the prescription antidepressants, also alcohol, also common over-the-counter painkillers like ibuprofen, naproxen, and aspirin, and even herbal products like ginkgo biloba or garlic or vitamin E and ginseng. All of these products can potentiate the effects of warfarin and increase the risk of internal bleeding. But just to give you a breath of this issue, Jane, over 8 of the 10 most widely used supplements do interact with warfarin. So this is a real issue. But we need to keep in mind that there are many other prescription drugs that don't mix with over-the-counter products, too. So be sure that you read your labels.
Right. We should read the labels that come with the prescriptions. Now, Ed, the bulk of your patients, of course, are dealing with heart disease and all the issues that come with it, as we mentioned, like high cholesterol, high blood pressure. When you speak with them, what do you find is their biggest challenge?
Well, by far, Jane, the biggest challenge is to keep my patients adherent to taking their medications. Unlike back pain, where you feel the need to take your meds, high cholesterol and blood pressure are asymptomatic, thus the designation of hypertension as a silent killer. You know, you're going along with no symptoms, and all of a sudden you have a heart attack or stroke, and you wonder, where in the world did that come from?
Uh-oh, Cassandra. Cassandra knows I'm a big, what they call, a health alarmist. That's another word, a nice way to say hypochondriac, right?
There you go.
But now, Ed, the AHA, the American Heart Association, estimates that 60% of cardiovascular patients are non-compliant on their medications, and they say it's because of a lack of motivation. Now, what does that mean, and how do you address this issue with your patients?
Well, this is a big issue because it's asymptomatic. A lot of people, you know, don't feel a need to take their medication. But the first question that I ask my patients is to just explain to me what they are taking their medication for. Then I fill in the gaps of their understanding. You know, think about it, Jane. What would your commitment be to take a drug that you did not understand how it would help you?
Yeah, you wouldn't take it.
No, you wouldn't. So,
right.
You know, by educating our patients how important it is, and keeping their blood pressure and cholesterol will decrease their, you know, their heart attack and stroke risk by 25, 33, or up to 50% of heart failure. So it is really important to be adherent to their medications.
So what are some of the tips that you'll give them to make sure that they take it? The only thing I take is a thyroid pill, and I keep it on my night table, so when I wake up in the morning, I see it.
Okay, that is the what they recommend for thyroid medications, to be taken first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. But one of the things that I encourage my patients to do, I'll ask them, you know, when in your daily routine do you take your medication? I steer my patients to link their medications to events that they'll know that they will do each day to increase their compliance. For example, if my patient's a coffee drinker, I might encourage them to put their medication next to the coffee pot so when they pour their coffee, they are reminded to take their medication and develop that habit. And sometimes, like brushing your teeth or is a good thing to link it to. Or if the patient likes to watch TV, you know, sometimes just putting their meds next to their TV remote control, you know, will help them to remember. When they turn their remote control off at night, they'll take their medications. So the ideas are endless, but coming up with what works for each patient is incredibly helpful and empowering, I find.
And have them remember to take it, as you say, is one of the most important things. Now, Ed, I'm sure that many of your patients ask you for lifestyle advice that we can all, for all cardiac patients and for those of us who don't want to become cardiac patients. So what are some of the things that you will tell them to do? That's just good advice.
That's a good question, too, Jane. Regular exercise, as we mentioned earlier, and a low saturated and trans fat diet with high fiber and low salt are also really important elements I discuss with my patients along with their medications. You know, just decreasing salt intake alone can significantly lower blood pressure. Since most heart's disease does not display symptoms, make sure that you're compliant in taking your medications and get regular blood pressure readings and cholesterol checks. Optimum blood pressure is 120 over 80, and total cholesterol levels should be below 200.
And also, exercise, as you mentioned, it's important. And I think people think they have to go and run marathons or do extreme sports like Cassandra and I do. But we're kidding, obviously. Just walking, really, a half hour a day or walking around the block, just getting moving and getting your body moving, I think that's really important, right? I mean, just to get out there and do something.
Especially for heart patients, just walking, that aerobic exercise, you know, 30 minutes a day, like you mentioned, goes miles to keep blood pressure under control.
All right, Ed, now we have a couple minutes left. So why don't you, if you could, give us a quick recap of what we should be aware of when taking medications, watch out for risky foods like grapefruit juice.
Yeah, watch out for grapefruit juice if you're going to take a statin, green leafy vegetables with warfarin, and salt if you have high blood pressure. Another thing is just to realize that over-the-counter drugs are medications too, you know. Statins and many other medications can interact with other drugs, including over-the-counter medications and vitamins. And I always encourage my patients to be informed. When talking to your doctor or pharmacist, carefully think about all the medications that you're on. It could really help save your life. And be careful to use your medications as directed by your doctor. Know when to take your meds and whether it should be taken with food or an empty stomach. Another thing is just to be adherent. Link taking your medications to activities you know you're going to do each day to increase compliance. And last of all, don't take cardiovascular medications just when you think you need them. Take them every day. heart disease is not well controlled just because you don't notice symptoms. Blood pressure and cholesterol can be at dangerous levels with no symptoms present, increasing your risk of a heart attack or stroke.
That's great advice. Thank you so much, Ed. Thank you so much for being with us. And just to note, Express Scripts initiatives, better decisions, healthier outcomes, are very similar to those that we have here at the Better Than Before show. Everyone, if you have a question about your medications, Express Scripts members can talk to a specialist like Ed by calling the number on the back of their cards. Members and others who would like more information from the specialist should visit their blog at lab.express-scripts.com. Ed, thank you again for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Jane.
Everyone, you are listening to the Jane Wilkins-Michael Show on CBS Radio The Sky. Stay with us. We'll be back with renowned dermatologist Dr. Rebecca Battle.
Inner Realm Magazine is the place to see and to be seen in the New York, New Jersey metro area. The premier guide to exploring all aspects of holistic health, it will keep your finger on the pulse of the latest and greatest metaphysical happenings. You can pick up a free copy of Inner Realm Magazine in any of the holistic or metaphysical stores in the New York, New Jersey area. And if you'd like to advertise in Inner Realm Magazine, just contact Cheryl Arcodia directly at www.innerrealmmagazine.com.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red. Turning over TV stations, situations running through my head. Looking back through time, you know it's clear that I've been blind, I've been a fool. Open up my heart to all that jealousy, that bitterness, that ridicule. Saturday, I'm running wild, and all the lights are changing, red to green. Moving through the crowds, I'm pushing, chemicals are rushing in my bloodstream. Only wish that you were here. You know I'm seeing it so clear. I've been afraid to show you how I really feel. Admit to some of those bad mistakes I've made. And if you want it, come and get it. Crying out loud. The love that I was giving you. Never in doubt. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and fail it now. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and fail it now. Babylon, Babylon. Sunday, all the lights in London, shining skies fading, red to blue. Kicking through the autumn leaves and wondering where it is you might be going to. Turning back for home, you know I'm feeling so alone, I can't believe. Climbing on the stair, I turn around to see you smiling there.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Become better than before. Now.
It's always better when we're together.
Call Jane Wilkins Michael now.
248-545-7685.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Jane Wilkins-Michael Show on CBS Radio The Sky. I'm here with Cassandra, as always. And now I'd like to introduce all of you to renowned dermatologist Dr. Rebecca Baxt. She is the go-to dermatologist for New York City and New Jersey's most beautiful women and men. And she'll tell us how to look beautiful despite any beauty emergencies. Welcome to the show, Dr. Baxt.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for being with us. Now, I have to tell you a very brief story. I was lying in my bed at NYU Hospital for Joint Diseases. I just got my hip replaced not that long ago, and it was very late. The nurse walks into the room. She looks very grim, and she goes, "There's a little emergency I would like to discuss with you." And as Cassandra knows, I don't do well with that sort of thing. Right, Cassandra?
No.
And, you know, several lives flashed in front of my eyes, and I thought maybe she wanted to tell me that I was dying, right? But it didn't really make sense because it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was no crash cart that accompanied her. Anyway, she finally said that she read in my chart that I host a lifestyle radio show, and I'm also a beauty, health, and fitness columnist, and she had a date the next night, and she had a huge pimple on her chin, and what should she do? So I'm lived to tell you this tale, Dr. Baxt and Cassandra. And I'm coming to you now because actually I dedicated a whole column to Dr. Baxt just talking about featuring this nurse and getting Dr. Baxt's advice about, you know, what we should do. So on behalf of women everywhere, I ask you, what should we do for
Why don't we start with that nurse's problem first, which is a big pimple. So if you wake up and you're having, you know, a big event or a big lecture or wedding and all of a sudden you have a big pimple, you know, the best thing to do is if you have your own trusty dermatologist that you can call and get squeezed in that day to do a little steroid injection, which reduces the inflammation and shrinks it down. But not everybody has that. So I would say at-home things that you can do to help a big pimple that pops up when you don't want it would be a little cortisone cream, which would take the place of a steroid injection, not quite as good, but can help, not, you know, long-term, but short-term to reduce the redness and the inflammation. You can ice it, so reduce the swelling. Sometimes I recommend that people take oral antihistamines, which are mostly over-the-counter these days, you know, Allegra, Claritin, Zyrtec, things like that to help reduce redness and swelling. And that's probably about the best you can do on short notice for a pimple. If you have your own doctor that you can go to, oral antibiotics also can work well because they kill bacteria and also work as anti-inflammatories. So those would be sort of the quick, easiest things to do for a big pimple.
Now, see, that's why we'd go to someone like Dr. Baxt. What I would have recommended was to take a brown eyebrow pencil and make it brown and pretend it's a beauty mark. that's why I don't have any patience at all. I have whiskers, but no patience. All right. Now, that's for a lone pimple. Well, how about if you have a cystic acne breakout? And adult acne, as you know, Dr. Baxt, is prevalent. I think once, you know, why should teenagers have all the fun?
Absolutely. Acne is very prevalent, and it's sort of the advice I was giving is really for any kind of acne or pimple type of breakout. It could be one pimple. It could be multiple pimples. I mean, when it's multiple, obviously, you know, the oral antibiotic is really going to be helpful, but you need the doctor for that. So, you know, I have patients who are prone to acne, and I give them an antibiotic prescription to have on hand so they can always have it and use it as needed. So it's sometimes good to know that you're prone to that and get your medication in advance in case you need it.
Right. Now, we should not squeeze, should we not? I mean, that's tempting.
No. Squeezing, first of all, it's going to make it worse. It's going to make it red and swollen. And, you know, a cystic acne pimple, it's a lot of inflammation under the skin, and you can't squeeze that out. You can't squeeze it. You have to inject it with a little cortisone. So if you can't inject it with a cortisone because you don't have a dermatologist, just a little cortisone cream and some ice would be your best alternatives.
Right.
You definitely shouldn't be squeezing it. First of all, your fingers are not clean. Even if you wash them and put tissues on, I mean, we all harbor bacteria all over our skin, so you can definitely cause an infection. You can also make it worse. I mean,
that's usually
what happens. You're going to make it worse by squeezing it.
Right. Now, we're talking a little bit about cortisone. Let's talk about allergic reactions.
Absolutely.
Now, you just know that right before your 20th high school reunion, you're going to eat something like a shrimp or a clam, and you're going to end up with these blotches, these blotches all over your face when you wake up. How do you deal with an allergic reaction that just happens?
Well, that's sort of an internal allergic reaction to something that you've eaten or taken, and the best way to deal with that would be Yes, with cortisone cream, but also with oral antihistamine. So Allegra, Zyrtec, Claritin, Benadryl. If it's severe, you need oral prednisone, you know, oral cortisone by mouth or a shot. For that, you know, if it's very severe, you have to go to the emergency room or to your doctor's office. But I also see a lot of people with allergic reactions to a product that they've used,
right,
which is not so much an inside reaction but an external reaction. You know, somebody gives you a gift of a new cosmetic or a new cream or lotion or potion. You decide to use it the night before a big event. You want to use your new product, and you wake up in the morning and, oh, my goodness, you're all red. And, again, cortisone cream, ice, cold compresses. Sometimes if it's very inflamed, I'll recommend milk compresses. There's something about the proteins in milk that helps soothe, so you can mix some milk with ice water, put some clean paper towels, and hold that to your face or your neck or whatever, wherever the reaction is. But the treatments are the same, topical cortisone creams, oral cortisone if it's very severe, oral antihistamines, which you can buy in the drugstore over-the-counter, and seeking medical attention if it's bad.
Right. Now let's talk about the cold sore that comes out that I'm sure many women experience, like the night before a first date. They're
yeah,
going to go with a big cold
I know.
Sore. What do you do for that?
So cold sores are caused by a virus, and if you're prone to them, you know them and you dread them, and you can often feel them coming out. You'll feel a little tingle because it's actually an infection in the nerve, and it keeps coming back in the same location over and over and over again. And if you know you get them, you should really get a prescription for the oral medication that works for these, which is an antiviral medication, from your doctor, your regular doctor or your dermatologist, and always have it on hand. It's something that I tell my patients to carry in their pocketbook, and the minute you feel a tingle, you start taking it, and that will nip it in the bud. So that's great if you know that you get them in advance and you're organized and you have your medication. If all of a sudden one is sprung upon you and you did not expect it and you don't have any medication, the best thing to do would be to try to ice it and get some of the over-the-counter cream, cold sore cream, like a Breva and things like that, and put it on, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a day to see if you can get it to penetrate and reduce the viral infection. Occasionally someone will come in, and if it's very swollen and inflamed, we can give that even a cortisone shot if needed. And also the antihistamines. I find antihistamines, you know, the Zyrtec, Allegra, Claritin always help reduce the swelling. But I think with the cold sores, if you know you're prone to them, the best thing to do is to have the medication on hand. And if you don't, see your doctor. And if you can't do that, then get whatever you can over the counter,
right.
A little, you know, antiviral cream to try to put on, a little cortisone cream if you can't get a cortisone shot, and antihistamines and ice.
Right. Now, also, let's talk about puffy eyes. And I think that the advice that you had given in the column was cut out the salt or the alcohol before a big event, and that is save it all for the actual event, the alcohol,
definitely.
That is.
Definitely.
So what do you do for puffy eyes?
You know, if you know you're people who get puffy eyes are prone to it. You know, they stay up late, they get overtired, they eat too many chips, they wake up in the morning, their eyes are puffy. If you know that that's the case and you know you have a big event coming on, best to, you know, avoid the salt, avoid the alcohol, get a good night's rest. I mean, that's the best way to avoid puffy eyes. However, if you wake up in the morning and your eyes are puffy, I always tell people allow extra time, ice, cold cucumbers, cold peas, cold tea bags, I mean, kind of anything cold that you want to put on to try to reduce the swelling. And again, antihistamines. So you could take a Claritin, Allegra, any of those things to try to help reduce the swelling and just allow a little time and cold to try to reduce the swelling.
Right. Now, Cassandra and I do extreme sport competitions, as you probably heard, mostly in the ocean. And even though we wear wetsuits, we have to take a boat to get to the place where we do our sport. And that's generally miles and miles out to sea, right? Right, Cassandra?
Miles and miles.
Back me up on this. So we could get sunburned. Correct. And so what do you do? And I know now it's, you know, the sun is getting a little weaker, but people are thinking about going away to islands for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And you know, sunburn is very prevalent. What would you do for sunburn?
Oh, absolutely. So, again, I feel like prevention is the best thing. So, you know, you're going on a boat for long distances. You know, you're going on a vacation. Bring your sunblock and use it and reapply it frequently. Wear a hat. I mean, prevention is the key. But if you get a sunburn and you didn't expect it, cortisone cream, cold compresses, aloe vera gel, And you can get, you know, all those things are over-the-counter. Ice and sunburns can be very painful. Sometimes people need to take Motrin or ibuprofen to try to reduce the pain. And if it's severe, you need to seek medical attention. Sometimes people get heat stroke, you know, from getting a severe sunburn. But, you know, again, I love to prevent sunburns by actually using sunblock and appropriate clothing and hats, and then you don't have that problem. But if you get the problem, you know, cortisone creams, ice compresses, cold compresses, aloe vera gel, some Motrin if needed, and that's probably the best you're going to do. You got to wait for the skin to heal. And for sure, don't reburn it. Once you burn it, and then if you don't protect it adequately, can be a real problem.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the sun, even the sun now. I mean, again, we're not talking about sunburn per se, but what is the SPF, sun protection factor, that you recommend for all of us just to wear when running around the city or running around anywhere?
I like to say a 30 or above broad spectrum. There's a lot of controversy about sunscreen numbers and chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, 15 is sort of like a bare minimum. I think in the sunny months, or if you live in a sunny climate, you're much better off with a 30. It definitely gives you a lot longer and better protection than the 15. So I usually say 30 and above. For people who have severe problems, the higher numbers are, you know, better. You can get a 40, a 50, a 60. The regulations have changed recently,
right.
And the labeling is a little bit different now, but I would say at least a 30. 30 broad spectrum.
And if you're at the beach, you be sure to apply it all the places behind your ears and your arms. And
your lips.
Exactly.
Lips.
You don't want to miss any spots, and you need to apply it heavy. So sunscreen is not something that you just want to dot on a little bit. You want to apply it very generously and rub it in and make sure you reapply. I would say the biggest problems that I see are people don't reapply. They put it on once. They forget the rest of the day. They think they're protected, and then they end up getting a burn or getting just a lot of ultraviolet radiation, and they get tan, but they just got way too much sun. So it really should be applied every 2 hours fully, and if you are in the water or in a very windy area or sweating a lot, every 1 hour, which goes by fast. It's a lot of sunscreen reapplication.
Right, right. Well, Dr. Bax, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk to you about the latest non-invasive rejuvenation treatments.
Excellent.
To keep us looking young forevermore. You're listening to the Jane Wilkins-Michael Show on CBS Radio. The Sky, don't go away. We'll be right back.
New Sky Radio. NewSkyRadio.com and Psychic Radio, PsychicOnAir.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station. With a mission to improve the world, one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family, an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
Returns for a satellite. We are but a moment of light, fading in the grass. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. If you hear the song I sing, you will understand. Listen. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another.
Radio's The Sky. Become better than before. Now.
It's always better when we're together.
Call Jane Wilkins Michael now.
248-545-7685.
Welcome back, everyone. We're on the air live. You're listening to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show on CBS Radio The Sky. I'm here with Cassandra, as always. And now I would like to bring back our wonderful guest, renowned New York and New Jersey dermatologist, Dr. Rebecca Baxt. And Dr. Baxt, in this segment, I think we're going to talk about those non-invasive rejuvenation treatments that I mentioned in the opener. There are many, and a lot of us are confused about what to take and what to have, what to ask for, and we're left at the mercy of some very unscrupulous salons that are giving us things that could be dangerous.
Yes, this is a really active area right now in the country and the world. Everybody wants to look younger, and everybody wants to do something that's not going to have any downtime and has no risk. And everybody wants it for nothing or extremely cheaply.
Right.
And so you just have to be very careful because there really are advertisements everywhere. I mean, I see it every day where I live, advertisements for all kinds of things. And it's really a buyer beware situation. I think before you do anything cosmetic of any variety, you have to really research who you're going to, make sure that they are board certified in the appropriate specialty. There's a lot of people out there, doctors who are not dermatologists or plastic surgeons who are practicing dermatology and plastic surgery, which scarily enough is perfectly legal in this country, and there's
wow.
no way to find out unless you as the patient check that they are actually board certified with the American Board of Medical Specialties, that they are board certified in their specialty. There is, you know, they can write on their advertisement that they are board certified, and they may be board certified in anesthesia or board certified in pulmonary medicine, and yet they're out there doing Botox and fillers and lasers that they learned in a weekend course. So there's all kinds of scariness going on out there. So I think the most important thing before you do anything is to research who you're going to, make sure that you've gotten good recommendations from friends and family, check them out on the web, and make sure that you check that their board certification is in the appropriate specialty. And that they've kept up, you know, they are kept up that they're currently board certified. And then, you know, there's so many fun things and safe things to do. You know, I guess we could just start with
Botox. Yeah,
okay,
we'll start with Botox because, you know, Dr. Baxter, to your point that, you know, a lot of times you're hearing about Botox parties, and it's not like even a doctor. The hairdressers are doing this, which is even scary.
You know what? It's
right?
So scary. Botox has been on the market for over 20 years. It's an extremely safe medication. It's been FDA-approved for cosmetic use for over 10 years already. So, I mean, we have a lot of experience using Botox. There's now two others out on the market called Dysport and Xeomin. They're
right.
all fairly similar. I think any of them are fine. It really is up to your practitioner which one that they're most comfortable using, but I think all of them are great. It really depends on, you know, the doctor that's doing it. And, you know, Botox parties, I can't say enough bad things about
that. Right. No, no.
Botox is very safe, and it's a great treatment. But when it's not done properly, it can be, number one, dangerous. Number two, it won't look very good. And if you're going to somebody's house and letting somebody inject you in somebody's living room, I wonder about, number one, are the needles clean?
Right.
Are the needles clean? Is it sterile? You know, why is this person injecting in somebody's house? Do they not have an office? What are you going to do if you have a complication? How are you going to contact this person? Where are you going to see them? You know, you want to make sure that your doctor, if you're the one in a million person who has a complication, knows how to handle it. I mean, complications are incredibly rare because the products are so safe, so you just have to be careful. But Botox is great for lines mainly on the upper face, so the 11 lines between the eyebrows, the forehead furrows, the crow's feet. I mean, we do use it in other areas, but those are the main areas that we use it. I believe it's only FDA approved right now for use in the glabella, which is the 11 right between the eyebrows.
Yeah,
and it lasts about
right.
3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. On occasion, I have a patient where it lasts 6 months. And so it is repeated treatments, but it's a fantastic way to make somebody look just like themselves, but a little bit younger, a little bit rested, fresher, youthful, and nobody has to know that they did anything. It can be a secret between the patient and the doctor as long as it's done properly. I always get patients worried about, you know, their neighbor whose eyebrows are cocking way up or somebody who can't
open
their eyes.
Yeah, you've seen that too.
You see that, exactly. Mm-hmm. When you see the celebrities and, you know, people look a little freaky and weird and they worry about doing these things, and that really is not the product as so much as the practitioner, which is back to the first thing that I said, which is you have to make sure you go to somebody who really has a lot of experience and knows what they're doing. So the products are very safe. So Botox, there's three of them. Botox, Dysport, Xeomin, mostly for wrinkles in the upper face, last 3 to 4 months, very safe when done properly.
Right. Let me just ask you, Dr. Bax, about Botox
sure.
also. Now, if you, because what you're doing is you're deadening the muscle, correct? I mean, how
you're
does it work?
Yep, you're weakening
the muscle. Now, the question is, if you continue to weaken the muscle, does that make more, let's say, wrinkles when that, I mean, that's a question that I'm asked. Does it make more wrinkles when the Botox wears off and you have to use it again? Does it get kind of lax?
No. Again, when used properly, you're using very low doses, of Botox. So it weakens the muscles temporarily, and then, you know, they go back to the way that they were. I will say that patients who've done it over and over again, sometimes the muscles weaken enough, and in my opinion, you get muscle memory, so that basically you don't frown, right? You use the Botox and you stop frowning. And then when the Botox wears off, you haven't frowned in 3 months, so your body has sort of broken that cycle of frowning, and you don't even remember to do it as often. And so you get sort of more longevity out of it, and you even look good even after the Botox is worn off because you've trained yourself to not be frowning. And it's interesting because they're investigating Botox now for depression. And there's some evidence
that
possibly using Botox and preventing you from frowning might even make you feel happier. Now, I cannot say whether that's completely true, but it's very fascinating.
That'll be great. See Cassandra and Botox instead of chocolate. Look at that.
There you go.
there you go. The other thing about, you know, when I first said Botox, I thought, because it's a little bit of botulism, and you know, and Cassandra knows me, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have botulism like a bad tuna, but it's not that at all. They're just too small a dose that it would really affect you. But I think, too, Dr. Bax, and we've all seen celebrities who are just over Botox, and they
yes.
have absolutely no expressions, and that's
yes.
frightening, too.
I completely agree with you, and it's unfortunate because I think it scares a lot of people away from these products, which can help lots of people and make them feel younger and look younger and be happy, and they're afraid to use it because of pictures that they see in magazines and stuff that they see on the internet and neighbors that they see looking terrible. But as I said, unfortunately, that's not the product. It's the practitioner.
Right.
And the
yep.
product, when used properly, honestly, nobody should know you even did it. Should
right.
not be obvious at all.
You just look like yourself, but
you
better.
You look like yourself, exactly.
Yeah, but better, but more rested. Now,
exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the fillers out there. Those are expensive, so you really have to know what you're being offered. There's Restylane, there's Juvederm, there's Perlane, and there's also Sculptra, and there's, what's the one that's
Belatera.
Permanent? Belatera, but that's permanent that you put in your face?
Silicone.
Silicone. So can you give us a little brief 101 about those and what the average person should perhaps ask for when they visit their doctor?
Absolutely. I mean, the most common are the hyaluronic acid fillers. So that's the Juvederm, Restylane, Perlane, Bellotero. So it's hyaluronic acid. It's a clear gel. They're usually made by bacteria. The bacterial proteins are washed out, so there's just a clear gel in the syringe. And it's a substance that occurs naturally in our bodies, so it's really a very natural substance. It's very natural looking. Again, the celebrities who look all puffy have just had way too much. But when you just put in a little bit, it softens the lines. We tend to use it in the nasolabial folds, in the corners of the mouth. You can really use it kind of anywhere on the lower face, in the cheeks, et cetera. But it softens up the lines. It's not going to completely erase every line on the face, but it's going to take sort of shadows and lines. As people get older, they lose collagen and lose volume, and it's going to replenish that.
Right.
And again, you're going to look exactly like yourself, just more, just a little younger, more youthful, more rested. It should not be overdone. And they're very safe and very effective. Again, when people look funny, it's because it's not the product, it's the way it's been used by the doctor or practitioner who's been putting it into that patient. So those are sort of all lumped together, the HA fillers, hyaluronic acid fillers. And the nice thing about them is that they're reversible. So if you were to get a bump, which is one of the complications, you can dissolve that bump with a little enzyme. Now, again, not all doctors stock that enzyme in their offices. We happen to always have it every day because, God forbid, our patient has a problem. We want to be able to correct that and reverse it on the spot.
Right.
A lot of doctors don't stock it because it's expensive, so you'd want to make sure you're going to somebody, if there's a complication, that they know how to handle it. If you get a little bump, it's reversible. Very easy to reverse it. Inject a little enzyme, massage it, the bump goes away. So that's a wonderful thing about the hyaluronic acid fillers. And by the way, bumps are very rare. Very rare, but they can be reversed. And so then the other fillers that are in sort of different categories would be Sculptra. And Sculptra, although I guess it's in the filler category, I usually think of it more of a collagen stimulator. It's injected basically in a liquid, in sort of water, with a little bit of lidocaine, and we inject it into sort of the entire lower face, a little bit in the temples, and then the next day it's basically gone. You have to massage it. But it lays in underneath the skin and then helps your body grow back the collagen and the volume that it's lost. So it doesn't give you an immediate effect like the hyaluronic acid fillers, where you walk out and you can see the immediate effect. With Sculptra, the effect is delayed. We usually will do repeated treatments for a few months to get the effect that you want in terms of rejuvenating the lower face and getting the volume back, and it works great. It works great, but you know, it takes a little bit more time. Takes a little bit more time to see the results. But we really enjoy using Sculptra for the patients who need that, who have lost a lot of volume in their lower face. It really replenishes the volume.
Right. I think also, Dr. Bax, that and we're going to take a break in about 10 seconds, that getting older, it's not just about tightness. It's really about losing volume. A lot of people think, oh, just tighten my face. But, you know, when you get older, the volume goes, as you said, and that's what...
So important.
That's what's going to be replaced. So, you know, we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Jane Wilkins-Michael Show on CBS Radio, The Sky. Please stay with us. More with Dr. Baxt on the other side of the break.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Seeking guidance in areas of love, career, and family, Kimmy Rose and Friends provides access to gifted psychics and is just a call away at 1-888-626-7386. Visit KimmyRose.com. That's Kimmy with an I-E. And click on the link to Kimmy Rose and Friends under Kimmy's picture on the right. Choose your advisor and click on their link below. If they're not immediately available, schedule an appointment with them. Kimmy Rose and Friends, connecting you with psychic advisors Kimmy trusts.
In a world where life is moving at a hectic, nonstop pace, fear is common, relationships are often strained, work is often a drain, and your health is easily put on the back burner. How do you feel revitalized, empowered, and elevated? Do you feel like you're trying to thrive in a toxic environment, mentally, physically, and spiritually? Finally, here's the answer. Direct from spiritual teacher and psychic medium Alyssa Joe, Raw Spirituality is coming in September, and it's the key for you to revitalize your body, empower your mind, and elevate your spirit. Raw Spirituality is the new online resource that provides you with everything you need to make the connection to a healthier body, more positive mindset, and more enlightened spirit. For your body, revitalize with superfood smoothie recipes, healthy living tips, and ingredient tutorials. For your mind, empower yourself to think positively and leave negative patterns behind with guided meditations, affirmation baths, and subliminal recordings. And for your spirit, guidance and tips from spiritual teacher Alyssa Joe to help you feel peaceful and happy. RawSpirituality.com. Revitalize your body, empower your mind, and elevate your spirit. It's time to take care of you.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Become better than before. Now.
It's always better when we're together.
Call Jane Wilkins Michael now.
248-545-7685.
Welcome back, everyone. We're on the air live. I'm here with Cassandra, as always, and our guest, Dr. Rebecca Baxt, New York and New Jersey's most renowned dermatologist, and she's here to answer all of our questions. Dr. Baxt, we left in the last segment talking about fillers. There was one that we didn't get time to speak about, and that's silicone. Now, that's the more permanent one. That you see that some people actually have to have it chipped out of their faces when they do too much of it.
Yeah, silicone, it has to be put in very carefully by a very experienced doctor. And it is permanent. So, you know, I tend to like the non-permanent fillers because I feel like people change over time, and who knows if you put something in when you're 30 or 40, if you're going to want it to look the same when you're 60 or 70 and the face changes, et cetera. And silicone has a little bit more risks to it in terms of bumps and granulomas that can be very, very long-lasting, as opposed to the hyaluronic acid fillers we spoke about before, where if you get a bump, it's reversible. If you get a bump, right, with silicone, it can last for many years. So, but silicone is a permanent filler, and some people do like that. So I would just, you know, use extreme caution with your practitioner with the silicone, because, you know, if you have a problem, it can be a long-standing problem when you use it.
And it's true. Your face does change, and your body changes as you get older.
Yep.
Some people who get tattoos on their chest that ends up around their ankles by the time they're 60. So, now, speaking of tattoos, let's go into lasers. Again, basically, almost every skincare salon here in New York City, as you know, Dr. Baxt, offers some type of laser treatment, and soon they'll be offering them at manicure salons. So, some of them, and I know people always want tightness, 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 and again, that might not be the right thing to use for your skin. The popular one now is Thermage, which is a pretty deep one, is it not?
So Thermage is actually not a laser, it's a radio frequency device. I mean, I guess from the sort of general public standpoint,
right, that's
all
what they think.
The same. It all sounds mm-hmm. the same, but it's a radio frequency device that's been around a long time, and it does do tightening. I think that it is a very safe treatment to have and somewhat effective. So, again, you want to make sure that you're having that done by somebody who's done a lot of it and who can stand by you if you have a complication, and also can give you accurate, you know, predictions as to your, what your results are going to look like. The other one that's the big competitor right now is Ulthera, which is a deep ultrasound, which also works nicely for tightening. Both Thermage and ultrasound can be a little uncomfortable to have done, so you have to be careful in terms of pain control and, again, making sure a very well-respected, experienced doctor can do that for you, who has a lot of, you know, experience doing those treatments. I think
and a lot of painkillers on hand. They do hurt, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a little scary that you can get these things kind of at any mm-hmm. sort of stop-and-shop little area where you go in the country. And I would just really, mm-hmm. you know, I hate to say you get what you pay for, but you really have to be careful who you let do these things. You know,
can't you
when
get
were they trained? How many
also?
Patients? You can get burned. You
right.
can have nerve damage. You can get, mm-hmm. you know, divots in the skin. It's also uncomfortable, and you want somebody to be able to, you know, do appropriate pain control for you and walk you through that. In terms of lasers, there's, you know, the buzzword for laser these days is fractionated resurfacing or Fraxolaser. That's something that we do in our office, but that's sort of a big term now, and people use it to cover lots of different laser companies. There's so many different lasers out there. So, again, it really depends on your doctor and what they recommend for you, and trusting that doctor and having good conversations with them and making sure that you're comfortable with the person that you're going to. Because, you know, one doctor is going to have this laser and another doctor is going to have that laser. And it's not
necessarily that. You have to know to believe. And they're not cheap either. The lasers are very expensive.
And lasers can have severe complications. You can definitely get a burn. And, you know, so you have got to go to somebody who knows what they're doing. I don't recommend having lasers done in spas and, you know.
Which they offer them. So for lasers, they can tighten your skin. They can remove tattoos, correct? And they can resurface your skin. In other words, if you have skin that's not perfect, then you can kind of take off the top of it and then have new skin
grow. Also, chemical peels can do that as well. But you can actually use lasers can be used for resurfacing. Lasers can be used for tattoo removal and laser hair removal. I would say those are probably the top reasons that we use lasers. We can also use lasers to reduce redness for people who have rosacea. So there's lots of, you know, things to use the lasers for. So, again, it's about having a conversation with your doctor if you're not comfortable getting a second opinion. But there's lots of lasers out there.
How about for cellulite?
That's a tough one. When there is one thing that works well for cellulite, I think everybody will be doing it because everybody hates cellulite. But as of now, I don't think that there's one best thing to do to get rid of it. It's just one of those bugaboos that's always, always tough to do. I mean, there's cellulase, there's endermology, there's, you know, it's kind of like dark circles under the eyes. When there's 150 products that you can buy and spend money on and procedures to do, you know that none of them work great. Because if there was one thing that worked great, everybody would be doing it, you know?
Right. Cassandra, you just told me, speaking of dark circles, didn't you tell me in the break that because of your sinuses that you get dark circles? This is an aside. It's not about lasers.
Yeah, it's hereditary. But, yeah, my eyes have horrible dark circles under.
Yeah, so that's a tough problem that has lots of causes, but it's also pretty tough to treat. So I usually, you know, depends on the cause. I mean, if you have sinus trouble and allergies that are causing it, you have to treat the underlying condition. You know, if it's genetic and sort of everyone in your family has it, you probably are better off wearing a little bit of makeup. Some people will use a little bit of fillers to try to mask it. Some chemical peels can lighten it, creams. But there's so many different things. Because no one thing works amazingly well.
So let's go back to some of the problems that your patients will come to you with. They obviously all want to look younger. I'm sure that's a universal request from women and men now everywhere. But there are other dermatological problems that could be serious, and that's moles. Now, how do you tell if a mole is cancer or non-cancer or just a beauty mark?
Yeah, it's, you know, melanoma is very scary, and it's one of the cancers in the country, one of the very few cancers that's rising in incidence extremely rapidly, and it kills young people, it kills old people, and it's definitely been linked to the sun. If you have a changing mole that's changing in any way, its size, its shape, its bleeding, it's changing colors, it would be definitely reason to get in to see a dermatologist as soon as possible. I usually tell patients if it's not, you know, something is changing and it's still present in a week or two, because sometimes, you know, it could just be a little pimple and it goes away. But if you have something that's changing and it's not gone after 1 to 2 weeks, I would definitely seek medical attention. So for melanoma, we usually think about the ABCDEs. So A would be asymmetry if the mole is asymmetric. B is border irregularity if the borders are irregular, not like a little round circle. C is color variation. We don't like things to be black. We don't like things to have multiple colors in them. We do not like the colors of red, white, and blue, the American flag, in moles. D is the diameter. So the old rule was sort of bigger than the head of a pencil eraser. That's sort of the softest rule because you can have teeny tiny skin cancers that are smaller than that. So that's sort of not a 100% rule. And E, which is sort of, I think, the most important for the general public to understand, is evolved. Changing in any way. It is irritated, it is growing, it is bleeding, it is evolving in some way. It needs medical attention.
Right. So, Dr. Back, so that's very, very important to remember those, the ABCDs of, and everyone, I think, will post that on our CBS Guide homepage. Now, Dr. Bax, what would you say, and that we have a couple minutes left, what would you say are the most important tips for beautiful skin? Drink water, eat right, just some of the basics that we should all follow.
I agree with you. Drink water, eat right. I don't think there's a special skin vitamin. I do think, you know, if your doctor tells you to take a multivitamin every day, I think eating a healthy diet is so important. Staying out of the sun, that's probably the number one thing that people have to do. Using daily sunscreen, it's been proven recently in a big study that came out this year that using daily sunscreen, you know, 365 days a year, reduces the aging of the skin and reduces lines and wrinkles, reduces pigment. So I think sunblock is something that is so easy to just put it on and carry it in your pocketbook and keep it in your car and use it and reapply it, and people just don't do it. And that's one of the things that can really help protect your skin and give you beautiful skin. And if you have a skin issue, I think a lot of people feel hopeless that nothing can help them, but you really do need to seek attention from a board-certified dermatologist, because there's so many things that we can do now for all kinds of problems that we can really be of help.
Right. Now, Dr. Bax, where can our listeners find you?
I am mostly in Paramus, New Jersey, also in New York on Thursdays, and our website is www.cosmetical.com. And if you just type me into the Internet, it's easy to find me, and we always welcome new patients and inquiries, and we love to help people with their skin.
And the column that I wrote on you, Dr. Bax, Cassandra, I think I'll resend it to you, and we can post it on our homepage so all the listeners can read it. I believe, Cassandra, have we come to the end of our time?
We have.
Oh, we have. Dr. Bax, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure to come back. Thank you, Cassandra, as always, and thank you all for listening. This is Jane Wilkins-Michael. I'll see you next week, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Until then, be wise, be well, be better than before.